The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells a parable. A lot of us are probably familiar with it. Two builders building houses. One of them building the house on a rock-solid foundation. Another builder building a very similar house, but this one on some shifting sand. Both of them look good. Both of them have a similar design, similar layout, similar features, but although they look so similar, it's when the storm comes that things change, right? When the storm comes, the torrential winds, the violent rains, the house on the rock stands firm. The house built on sand quickly washed away. You know, there are a whole variety of shifting sands that people will try to build their lives on, will try to make the basis, the foundation of what they are and what they're about. You know, sometimes we might try to make the foundation of life making as much money as we can. That's the key to our happiness. That's the key to it, just making more and more money. Or sometimes it's collecting a lot of stuff. He who dies with the most toys wins, the bumper sticker says. We might live by that. Or maybe it's something a little bit more noble. Maybe it's wanting to be well-respected. Well-respected in our field, in our community. Popular among the people that matter to us. Or competing hard, winning. Winning in the sense of just whether I do well or not, better than the last guy. Other times there's the foundation we might build on that certainly seems like good kinds of things, respectable things. Raising good kids, teaching them values, being healthy, happy, smart. But all of these can have one thing in common. They can all be simply fair weather foundations. They all look the same and act alike until the storms come. And it's not an if, it's a when. When those kinds of things happen. When cancer hits. When a relationship falters. When you fail that class you need for graduation. When you lose a job that you were counting on for income. Or when you just do something stupid and wish you could undo it. We have consequences to pay and we say, life is terrible. Things are falling apart, the world is a mess, and so we cry out to God, as we should, and wonder if we're going to make it through this or not. And if we do come out unscathed, sometimes it's incredible just how quickly we go back to our fair weather foundations. Last week, when I gave my first sermon with you, I mentioned a little bit about Superman. And I'm not going to talk about him every week, but I do have another episode that this reminds me of. You know, I can remember when the first Superman full-length movie came out, late 70s, Christopher Reeve in the starring role. Maybe you remember that. And if you saw it, you might remember the big climactic scene towards the very end of the movie. The bad guy is really kind of getting the better of Superman. And you know, Lois Lane, Superman's heartthrob, Lois Lane, she's driving down a highway in Nevada or something, and suddenly there's an earthquake, and the road opens up, this huge chasm, and Lois Lane drives right into that chasm, and it closes up again. Superman usually comes to the rescue in the nick of time, especially in the case of Lois Lane, right? But in this case, Superman is busy building this emergency dam because the bad guy has caused a leak in the Hoover Dam, and there's millions of gallons rushing down to wipe out people's homes and kill millions of lives. So Superman doesn't discover about Lois Lane until it's too late and she's died. And Superman gets super angry. And he starts flying at supersonic speeds around the world. How many of you remember this? He's flying around the earth. He's flying so fast. And he's flying in the opposite direction of the rotation. And so the earth begins to spin backwards. And supposedly, as the earth spins backward, time goes backwards. Right? And Superman is able to go back in time and redo things that he could save Lois Lane and save the day. Now, the science is a little bit suspect. But don't you wish that were possible sometimes? Right? Don't you wish you could turn back time right after you've just said something stupid and you're going, oh, I want that back. Don't you wish you could turn back time when something terrible has happened? I mean, the problem is time, the arrow of time only goes one direction and it can't be done. You cannot unburn the cookies that you just baked. You cannot get the toothpaste back into the tube when you squeezed it too hard. You cannot unrun the red light that got you the ticket for $150. Don't ask me how I know that, but trust me. Right? Some things in life are irreversible. And then, while some of them can be, you know, mildly humorous, a little embarrassing, you get over it and you get on with your life, then there are those things that leave a hole in your heart that are never undone. When you're standing at the foot of a casket, or if you've been on the receiving end of a lawsuit, or if you've ever gotten a frantic phone call in the middle of the night from a child or grandchild, you've gotten those lab results that confirm the doctor's worst fears. You know the feeling. Feels like your life is over. You may as well quit. You may as well be done. Even in church, we get to those points. The frustration and the heartache build up to such a level that we just wish we could undo it, or maybe it wouldn't happen at all. You want it to be over, but it's not over. It's not over until God says it's over. In those dreadful moments, when you have nothing else, when you feel like God couldn't be further away, even at church, when you have nothing else to cling to but Jesus, that's when you have everything. You see? That's when you have everything. The same God who promised to never leave you or forsake you has gone through death and hell for you. And through baptism, that death and resurrection becomes your own. That's why we put the baptismal font in the middle of the sanctuary of the day so you can remember baptism. If you haven't been baptized, I hope you'll come and see me at some point. We could dig in God's Word together and see what an enormous blessing it is. But when Jesus walked out of the tomb, the word impossible was removed from our vocabulary. And his resurrection isn't something we celebrate one day a year, just when Easter falls. It's something we celebrate every day in every way as we live the Easter resurrection as our own. You see, today the risen Lord Jesus is asking you to make him the foundation of your life. He's inviting you to take his teachings to heart. All of them, not just the ones you like, but all of them. He's asking you to be a dynamic listener, not just a listener who hears things, but a dynamic listener to his word, which means you not only read and listen to his word, but you thrive on being it. You thrive on aligning your will with his will, living what he teaches. Now, why would you do that? Why is Jesus worthy of being that solid rock on which you build your life? That's where Easter comes in. You know, we may chuckle at little Johnny's answer in the children's message, Jesus rised. But what he said next is actually maybe worth remembering more. His answer was, Jesus rised. He said he would, and he did. You see, first and foremost, the resurrection of Jesus Christ paves the way to eternal life for all who believe in him. And my prayer is that everyone here today can say, I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. He paid for my sins, and he rose from the dead that I might be forgiven and have everlasting life. Not maybe if I do something, or perhaps if this goes right, but for sure, because this is his promise. Yet underneath that great confession of faith is another truth to believe, and that is that Jesus can be trusted. Jesus' words are true. Jackson got it. The little boy, he just got it. He said that he would suffer. die, rise again. He told his disciples that. And even to those who opposed him, Jesus' own enemies, he made it clear, destroy this temple, talking about himself, destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll rebuild it. And he did. And when his good friend Lazarus dies, the family, the sisters Mary and Martha are in mourning, and Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And he raised him from the dead. You see, because Jesus rised just as he said he would, we can trust him. We can trust everything he teaches us. If he had not risen, if he had lied about rising again, if he had just gotten it wrong somehow, we'd be left with nothing but sandy soil and a shaky life of short duration. We wouldn't need to be here. There wouldn't be any point. But the inspired Apostle Paul probably says it best. 1 Corinthians 15, he says, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. There's an old proverb, not a Bible proverb, but a saying, I guess. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with but the first step. You've heard what God is saying to you on this Easter Sunday. You know not only the story and the message, you know the promise that are yours. Take a step right now with the living Lord, a step of faith, trusting in him, and your journey will be for eternity. He'll see to that. Let Jesus live in you now and make your life truly worthwhile. Let Jesus take you to your funeral. Let him raise you on the day of resurrection. Let him carry you into heaven. But whatever you do, don't be caught dead without Jesus. Because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Go ahead and let the band come up and get ready. The rest of us, I invite you, we're going to, as we reflect on God's word, and while we are shown our sins and our faults, even all the more we're shown the great good news of our salvation. And so a moment now of confession and forgiveness. Would invite you to stand for this point, for this part. And we'll do this responsibly. You can follow along on the screen. Jesus said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Though our faith is built on the rock-solid foundation of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, there are times when we hear his words but do not live by them in our thoughts, words, or actions. It is then that our lives are built on the faulty foundation of our own weak and sinful nature. For that we must repent and confess our sin to our Savior who paid the price. Here's our confession and forgives. Most merciful God, we confess that our very nature is sinful. We do not love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We do not love our neighbors as ourselves. Far too often we trust in our own willpower and resolve rather than the firm foundation of a Savior crucified and risen again for us. We fail to do what you command and succeed at doing the things that you detest. We deserve to have such results. Forgive us, most holy God. The stone was rolled away from the tomb, and the death and resurrection of Jesus have become the source of infinite forgiveness from the God who loves and saves. He hears your plea and responds by washing away your sin in the flood of his mercy. Therefore, build your life on this. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated.